Good evening, bienvenue tout le monde. Hi and welcome. Thank you, Avery, popping our chat in the our agenda in the chat. Welcome, welcome. You are a dedicated, lovely bunch spending your Valentine's evening with us. Thank you so much. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. We're spreading lots of love to all of you, our neighbors and Lower Town friends. Thanks for joining us this evening. I'm Liz Bernstein, the co-president of the LCA. It is my great privilege to be and going to facilitate this evening's meeting. Our co-president, Silly, is still in China at the Olympics. Okay, does it look like, oh, it's only seven. Now y'all are early. So yes, we're not, we're a very prompt, excited bunch for our Valentine's evening together. Good. Welcome, welcome. Bailey, I see you are here. Is Councillor Fleury joining us imminently?
Yes, he will be.
Great. Because that is our first item. But okay, well, I guess that I would like to start us off then. We'll just dive right in. If others are joining in a couple of minutes, that's fine. But I wanted to dive right in and say again, welcome and thank you for joining us this evening. Not only is it Valentine's Day, but it's a really difficult moment for many of us, and living through these weeks with the occupation in Ottawa and people and the experiences we've all been having walking around the streets, feeling uncomfortable, unsafe, harassed, and just really a difficult moment for many of us. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, and that some of us have been experiencing difficulties, but that we want to hear from everyone, and we know it isn't the same for everyone in Lower Town in the last couple of weeks. And we also know that we have a very loving, vibrant community, and we're supporting one another. We want to hear what else we can do to support one another, and to ensure that all are comfortable in our community. So with this, I did want to provide a moment for anyone in the community to share experiences, either how you're feeling or specific things you've seen or heard, things you want for Bailey to hear and bring to the counselor, and then of course to Councillor Fleury when he joins us. So at the first, I just wanted to basically have a little bit of an opening and of course ask all to remain respectful, and I know you will, but to either share from feelings perspective, how you're feeling, or some effects of what you're seeing and hearing that you want to raise to a counselor's office. So with that, I am going to open it up and ask that you either raise your hand or put in the chat, or if you're on screen, wave your hand so that I may see who would like to speak.
I have enough.
I know, I think there's another
shot. Oops, someone's still unmuted. Did you want to speak, whoever is speaking? Anyone want to share anything from the experiences in Lower Town of the last couple of weeks?
I
Dominique, do you like to go ahead?
Yeah, I'd like to know if the LCA would support a public inquiry into what has been going on in the last 3 weeks. If the LCA would ask our municipal leaders if they'd be willing to organize a public inquiry, especially knowing what has happened in the last 3 weeks, what the lack of leadership on the part of our municipal leaders, and especially I find that the Ottawa Police Service has lost a lot of credibility and integrity in what has happened in the last 3 weeks. And so would the LCA support a public inquiry into this and asking our municipal leaders to set one up, or if it would be a provincial public inquiry?
Good point. Good point. Any thoughts? Anyone on the call want to respond quickly to Dominique before we move on to anyone else's points? Anyone have thoughts? A public inquiry. Are folks supportive of that? I see a little bit in the chat. Yes. Anyone? Yeah. A couple of thumbs up.
Hurry, please.
Sorry. Okay, a couple of thumbs up, I see. Excellent. Good suggestion, Dominique. You can certainly follow up and take to the next steps when the councillor arrives also, and ourselves, and follow up to this meeting, definitely. I'm seeing more and more thumbs up. So that's a constructive proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz.
Anyone else? You can have a constructive proposal like Dominique, or you can just share anything else that you're feeling. It doesn't have to be along these lines, but I think that was a good constructive way to start us off. Anyone else? Go ahead, Dominique.
I mean, I could rant about it, but...
If you need to get it off your chest, it's okay. But if you don't, could we ask you to follow up and send a couple of lines of what you would see would be like text for the LCBA support, you know, just what you said orally? Would you be able to send that to me by email so we can? Okay, great.
Thanks, Liz.
Okay, I see. It seems like Councillor Fleury has just joined us. Welcome, Councillor Fleury. We've just started off our meeting, wishing everyone a happy Valentine's Day and also saying thanks for being with us in these difficult times. We know a lot of people in Lower Town are struggling. It's been a very difficult 3 weeks. We know it has for you as well. We're basically starting off with an open floor for people to share either how they're feeling or what they are asking for or what they see. And Dominique has proposed that we all support a public inquiry. And there have been nodding heads and thumbs ups around the room, and now you're caught up. And I will now move on and ask if anyone else would like to speak, and again, either share your experience or a proposal like Dominique, anything is fair game this evening. Just your feelings or your proposals or what you've seen on the streets. Anyone else want to speak up?
I have to say, Liz, now perhaps I don't fit a certain demographic. The personal encounters I've had with, I don't know who they are because there's a whole crowd of folks on an individual basis haven't been an issue. Mm-hmm. It's more sort of the idea of the uncertainty and the sense of menace and the stink biking around Center Town and Lower Town. But I haven't had a personal issue with the number of folks I bumped into. But the trucks do certainly intimidate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Anyone else? And I guess, have you heard anything else from parishioners, from others coming to and from the church, I guess? It's just a follow-up?
No, a couple of, like, I get calls like, can we come in?
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for me to answer, given a certain background. I didn't find it a minute, but I suggested to some folks early on, no, I think maybe just stay home. And our concern now, we've heard of parking restrictions, perhaps associated with the the new measures being brought in. And now that introduced, we've just reopened another uncertainty as to access to our building. Perhaps Councillor Fleury could expand upon that. It's just something that we've heard.
Okay. Before we go to Councillor Fleury, maybe just note that for when you speak, Councillor Fleury.
Hello, Liz.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that 6 people have had to move out of our building because of the noise. I think they're mainly the apartments facing Rideau and Sussex. Mm-hmm. And we're also looking into whether we can be included in the class action lawsuit, mm-hmm. which right now only includes Lower Town residents. But I think there were a lot of Byward Market residents affected negatively as well.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Thanks for that addition. I appreciate it. Anyone else? I wonder if I might put you on the spot a bit, Matt, and as you're working with so many people in the community, the Lower Town CRC, if you might share a bit about your experiences and the people using the center, if that's okay.
Sure, I can share a little bit. I was actually first and foremost curious to be here tonight to hear what you folks had to say. I've been in constant contact with my staff, asking them what they've heard, what they're hearing. I have to say the vast majority of our clients, which is certainly not to say all of them, but a good proportion are from the Lower Town East side. What we're hearing in general is fear. It's one more thing that's keeping people inside. That's not just feeling cooped up, isolated, yeah. and just afraid of being outside. In terms of the number of incidents that have happened with staff, I can't report any that have happened with staff. And in terms of incidents that have been reported to us from clients, nothing of significance, just kind of on the order of what was just described, just to some of other observing folks, but no direct interactions that have been reported to us, which is not to say they haven't happened, just none that we've heard. In terms of foot traffic and busyness, it's mostly been on the weekends where every available parking spot has been taken along on street parking and lots of foot traffic going by. But in terms of actual interactions or things stemming from the presence, very, very little.
Thanks, Matt. Okay, anyone else have collected your thoughts while Matt was sharing? Anyone else want to share your experiences, feelings, concerns? Well, maybe then we'll head over to you, Councillor Fleury. And again, it's not a one-off if you have the thoughts in
Liz,
response. I'm sorry, I missed a hand. Where's that?
Heather Harvey.
Heather, go ahead, Heather. Thanks for helping me.
I just wondered if people were aware. I had a flat tire and CAA won't come because I live in the core, because it's too intimidating for their staff to answer calls. So we're without CAA support if anybody ever needs any.
Thank you, Heather, for sharing that. I see in the chat Kendra said as well that she's heard this from other services. Okay, anyone else? Again, we can ask again. We'll go to Councillor Fleury now. And again, we can have a conversation. If you think of something when he speaks, we'll come back to you after. So you haven't lost your opportunity to share your experiences. Okay, Councillor Fleury, we're going over to you now for your update. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you, everyone, for your engagement. Many of you have reached out to Bailey and I over the last 3 weeks, and I want to thank you for sharing the real life intimidation and struggles and questions, and also a number of ideas have come out through our community. So I want to thank you for that. I don't think it needs to be said, but I will anyways. Our first goal here is to end the occupation. It appears late in the week that the provincial government woke up following the Ambassador Bridge situation, which appears to be helping us. And today with the Emergencies Measures Act that was enacting specifically around insurance of the heavy rigs, as well as a number of elements, including the way fundraising was done. So we are following that with attention. The other news today was that finally the city did go to court and was successful in an injunction. The injunction beyond the resident-led effort, which was around the honking, includes now fire, includes parking, includes fireworks, and includes carrying of gas. So we're sort of left with similar challenges in the sense that now it's beyond the local bylaw rules. It is a court injunction, so there are higher penalties to these infractions, but we rely heavily on proof and reports and enforcement. So I guess where I would go with that, in the spirit of what is being said so far, is that I am in contact with Emily Taman as well as Paul Champ, who are the local legal team looking at the class action and who submitted the class action. They are looking to expand the class to our area, including Sandy Hill and Lower Town, and even parts of Overbrook now with the baseball stadium use. So please stay tuned. And I believe they've created a link to connect with them and share, because they need evidence, right? They need evidence to show that the same level of noise was an issue in our area, which there's no question it was, but they do need videos. They need witnesses who are willing to come forward and describe that as such to be included in the class. So if you have questions on that specifically, we please follow up with Bailey and I, and we'll connect you with the lawyers. They are inundated with emails, good and bad, as you might imagine. So please just come to us and we'll connect you with them directly. They've been very responsive to the connections we've established. Beyond the class, they are looking at a class for businesses and the impact on businesses. I keep referring in the media to the Rideau Center, because people can refer to the Rideau Center as, you know, this large, 200 business, 1,500 employees operation. But that's a sign of much more impacts on our local businesses. When you walk down our area, you can see very quickly how many of the businesses have been impacted and closed for the last 18 days. So they are looking at a class for that. So if you do know owners, if you do know business owners in our area that have been impacted, please, obviously the BIA is in touch with their members, but they are looking at a class for business impact specifically. In terms of businesses, we are in conversation. Council did pass a motion last week, and we've been in conversation with both Minister McLeod and Minister Fortier about local business relief to cover some of the fixed costs and losses, as well as wages for employees. So please stay tuned and be aware. In terms of community impacts, obviously the one that got everyone's attention was the situation at Shepherds of Good Hope. I want to raise a couple of them beyond that. So there's been a number of incidents at the Loblaws. A number of incidents at Andrew Fleck Childcare at King Edward and George Street. It's been a number of reports of intimidation, yelling, and even ripping off of masks in different businesses in our area. The Rideau Center, when it decided to close on Saturday, the 28th of January, it did so because close to 3,000 people were in its food court and refusing to leave and not wearing masks. So The Rideau Center has wanted to reopen every day since, but has required paid duty officers, which right now are unavailable due to obvious circumstances. Counselors in the Corps, Councillor McKenney and I specifically, are working very closely. We have moved on a number of motions, including that the federal precinct, federal areas should be under the supervision of the RCMP to relieve our local police force to community streets. Although we've seen more presence in the community streets, it's been mainly related to street closure and not public safety in general. So we remain extremely concerned about that. There continues to be intimidation in the neighborhood. Some of you might have the question in relation to, we'll call it the agreement that was signed between the mayor. Oh. Liz, am I good to go? Sorry, I got a feedback.
Yes, someone's unmuted. Please mute yourself. Go ahead, Councillor.
Okay. Yeah, I was where I was heading is that the mayor had negotiated with one of the convoy's organizers about the moving of rigs out of the residential areas. What that means is really specific to O'Connor, Kent, and Metcalf streets. So there's really limited impact on us, and there's no removal of those vehicles, these occupants. It's more displacement to the Parliament precinct. So I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention, that it's not related to some of the pickup trucks that we see with flags going around the neighborhood. Those are not organized occupants. Those are...
Oops, I think you froze. Or is it me? No. Is anyone else?
He's also frozen on my end. I think he's having connection issues.
He's frozen.
Okay. So he'll need to rejoin or something.
It's the truck.
Yes, it's sabotage for him. You may need to leave and come back. All right, as he's coming back, did anyone want to get on the list for a response for anything we've heard so far? I could keep the speakers list for, no? Okay.
Liz?
Yeah.
Gordon here. I put it up in the chat, and perhaps Council Faribee is able to answer. We'd heard that there were going to be new parking restrictions in along King Edward Avenue and associated streets. So I was just wondering, is that so?
Okay.
And if so, what's the extent? Because it certainly will affect us on the weekend, but sort of small beer in the grand scheme of things, but curious about it.
Okay, thanks, Gordon. Is he coming back yet? Are you back?
Sorry about
yet?
That.
There you
Sorry
are.
About that.
Okay.
The computer
no
crashed. So yeah. I don't know how far along you heard me, but it was relation to the agreement relating to rigs. I want you to know that OPS, so I've been meeting daily with businesses, the BIAs, Ottawa Markets, Rideau Centre, the Hotel Association, and Okobia. And at that meeting, there is traffic services, bylaw services, emergency services, and Ottawa Police. And Ottawa Police has informed us for the last week or so that Rideau and Sussex is top of mind for them to advance enforcement. I don't know if you've gone to that area, don't if you don't have to, but it is quite a small group, about 15 or so trucks that are outside of the main protest occupants area. So once that opens, the Rideau Center does feel like it can open and buses could return to serve the downtown. So we've continued to raise that to authorities' attention. again, it's complicated, right? I'm trying to get answers. I'm trying to push, but it does remain extremely complicated. So Liz, I've spoken enough. I'd have much more to say. We do have a special counsel tomorrow. And we did bring a number of motions last time, the one on the injunction, the one on bylaw set fines, the one on business support, the one on the declaration of emergency. So if residents have further ideas on measures we can put in, I'm certainly open ears and open mind.
Okay, when you had gone off, we had a question from Gordon about parking restrictions on King Edward. Was that right, Gordon? Wondering if that's happening.
So right now, the parking situation or the lane closure situation is volatile. If the city, okay, for example, on Saturday, the city was seeing a convoy coming in from Montreal Road via the 50, and you might have noticed that it brought King Edward down to one lane to force congestion.
Yeah.
So basically, unless the lanes are closed, what is posted on signs is what applies, where it becomes, for the time being, until the occupation is resolved, uncertain is on weekends, where we do see on the ground movement of lane closures and so on. So Gordon, I'm not sure that I'm answering your question because I'm not certain in real time of what measures are needed or implemented, but the city's team is on the ground. As you might have seen, it closes lanes sporadically to limit access.
Okay.
Thank you, Councillor.
I have Dominique. That's for a new hand, right? Not from before. Go ahead.
Yeah, new hand. Mathieu, quelle est la priorité de la ville par rapport aux camions qui sont situés sur la rue Nicolas entre Laurier et le pont Mackenzie King?
C'est la même priorité que celle sur Rideau King Edward. Évidemment, les gens qui se sont positionnés là essaient d'avoir, un, la visibilité, mais aussi ont beaucoup de pression de leur père de se déplacer, surtout les heures de congestion. Donc, il y a comme plein de petits éléments comme ça. Je te dirais que dans notre zone, au niveau prioritaire, c'est Rideau Sussex. Puis secondaire à ça, évidemment, Nicolas. Tant et aussi longtemps qu'ils sont là, dans cette voie-là, il y a du risque parce qu'ils pourraient rapidement bloquer la voie ou limiter. Sache que dès qu'on est capable de les débloquer de là, on se sent à l'aise à pouvoir réouvrir certaines zones, là, dont le pont Mackenzie pour le transport en commun.
OK. Puis j'ai une deuxième question. Est-ce que appuierais-tu une enquête publique au niveau...
Oui.
Ou au niveau provincial?
Oui. Je pense qu'il doit y avoir une série d'enquêtes. Premièrement, une enquête nationale pour la capitale, puis les responsabilités de la capitale. On n'a pas... are you okay if I say it in English just so that I capture everyone? Mm-hmm. I think there will need a national inquiry in relations to the capital. We are the capital. We have those responsibilities, and clearly the type of protests are evolving, and we can't see impacts on the livability and on our transit system, on communities. So there needs to be that. There needs to be a provincial municipal one, including a policing response. There needs to be deep answers on what was known when and what actions were taken. I have a number of you know, obvious questions. We were told by the police chief on the Friday before that first day, I think it was the 28th, that it was a charter rights to allow trucks to move anywhere freely based on a protest. And the following weekend, when protests were happening in Quebec City and Toronto, they chose otherwise. So there's a number of, you know, this is an example of the type of information that needs to be aired, reviewed, and evaluated in time. So I think it's early to speak of an inquiry because we're still focused on the occupation, but there's no question that this is at every level, political, policing, city authority, provincial and federal responses. There's a number of things that we've done that came in way too late and weren't effective.
Oui, en effet. Right. Oui, merci beaucoup.
Thanks, Councillor Fleury. I see the hand by Deb Patterson.
Good evening. Thank you very much, Liz. I'm speaking for my wife, Debbie. I have 3 points, which will lead to 2 questions, which I think Councillor Fleury has just posed himself. The first point has to do with the failure of intelligence. We knew for weeks that these trucks were coming. In fact, the day before the trucks arrived on CBC, they were interviewing a truck stop owner in Armpire who was talking about the hundreds of trucks which had come down the Trans-Canada and were coming from Armpire to Ottawa the next day. The next day, the Thursday, I happened to be out in the West End late afternoon and was hoping to come down the Sir John A. Parkway to come home. To our great surprise, it was blocked off by the police of Woodruff so that the trucks, the convoy of trucks, could come down Sir John A. onto Wellington. If I sound angry, that's probably because I'm very angry. My second point has to do with the police and their activities or lack of. There are 1,850 roughly uniformed City of Ottawa OPS uniforms. There are over 600 in the parliamentary precinct service. There are RCMP, I don't know how many, but give or take 3,000 police here in Ottawa. And they are being pushed around by some rabble. Which makes me think, do we have a serious leadership problem in the police force? I was going to also say that I wore a uniform for 35 years with a Canadian flag on my shoulder, and to see these morons with their children with flags that say fuck Trudeau parading up and down past our House of Parliament to be beyond offensive. Sorry if I got a little bit carried away there. And Councillor Fleury, thank you for the questions which I just listened to you pose. That's exactly what I want to know. What happened to the intelligence? What are the police doing? And when are we going to get this rabble off of our streets? Thank you.
Liz, I don't know that I have the full answers, and thank you, Ian and Deb, for your points. I'm not sure it's helpful, but I do want to bring that context that in Ottawa, yearly, we have about 100 protests, and Seb could speak to that in time. The majority of time, Ottawa Police facilitates access to the Hill. And that will be that will form part of the intelligence going forward of, you know, in this case, obviously the trucks, obviously the group, obviously the intent. There's a number of things that have become a lot more obvious that need to be inquired. But generally, the spirit of the Ottawa Police in the demo has been to close off roadway and provide access in and out and move on. Right. So, and we've seen that we see that successfully done with a number of protests over the years. Obviously, this is there's been a few examples where it didn't work, and obviously needs to form the inquiry. I'm right now where I'm at today is I do think that we need to look at the district environment in terms of the capital responsibility. And I do think that through that, we need to look at the enforcement authorities. I don't think that the Ottawa Police is necessarily equipped going forward to be the authority in charge of protests that are focused on decisions at the federal level. But again, those will all form part of the levels of inquiries over the next while.
John Chenier, I have your hand up next. And anyone else, if you want to get on, just raise your hand or note in the chat.
Okay, yeah, Matt, I guess the question I have is, and I've said it in the chat, is that the police seem to be doing the work of the protesters on King Edward Avenue. I mean, we have to have citizens blocking the route coming in off of Riverside Drive. And at the same time, we've got people who are coming back from skiing or coming back just from doing things in Quebec. And it takes them an hour and a half to get across on King Edward Avenue because it's the only one. for what? I mean, we heard there was a convoy. I mean, that thing was there all day, and the lane reductions were there for about 12 to 14 hours. And really, the only people that were getting really teed off were your average Ottawa citizen who was trying to come back into town from being in Quebec. I mean, I look at it and I say, what's happening here? I mean, who's making decisions and on what basis? I'll leave it at that. That was my rant.
Yeah, John. So just so you know, so when there is emergency, say when there's a flood or whatever, the city does put together what's called an emergency operations center that is city led. In the context of this occupation, it has been run by the Ottawa Police, which decide what street open and what bylaws are enforced and where. Since the last weekend, I think it was reported late evening on Thursday, the provincial, the OPP and the RCMP are now leading the response, the enforcement response. So the decision of what was open and closed was done by authorities and not at the local level. And it is to limit movement. I recognize, and my mother was one of those vehicles that it took 4 hours to cross. I recognize the challenges of that. At the same time, if those yahoos are able to come across and create havoc in our community and park at De La Salle and yell at people, it's not better. So I'm not sure what's best at this point, but again, that will form part of the review in time.
I guess my point would be if they were stopping people from going on the hill, you know, and literally blocking them and saying, I'm sorry, no more people on the hill, that would be one thing, but they're not. I mean, if they can get in other ways, by all means, go up and party on the hill. So who's being affected by this? It's mainly the people who are just trying to make it as normal as possible. And I guess I have a problem. I don't care who's making the decision. It seemed to be a very wrong one. That was my point.
Fair enough. Just on the spirit of the hill piece, it is frustrating when the chief says there'll be no more gas walking. And as you know, that became quite a farce last week. So I think, you know, those are part of enforcement questions that remain and have gone unanswered. So John, I couldn't agree more that there are a number of tactical elements that are used right now with very few answers or clarity on their tactic or their purpose.
Just one more point, Matt, and that is that, you know, I've been at a number of G7 conferences here and abroad, and, you know, they seal off an area, and unless you have a badge or a reason to get in, you do not get in. And I've been waiting for them to seal off the all those areas, and as people leave, they can't get back in, and people can't get in. I mean, they do it for a G7 and a snap, and yet I don't understand why they don't do it now. Again, absolutely my last.
No, well, John, that's a very good point. Yeah. And we've done it locally for Canada Day, for Ottawa 2017. There's been a number of situations where there are checkpoints to get within a specific geographic area. So, you know, that's formed part of my question now. I know many of you might have strong views on the use of military, but the use of military can form key points to checkpoints and can help with the removal of heavy rigs. As you know, the city under its procurement has not been able to secure heavy tow truck equipment. So, you know, the fact that the feds are so entrenched in not using the military is difficult, specifically for this type of measure, right? When you think of supporting checkpoints, limiting access, and the use of equipment to remove park rigs. So, you know, that, John, I think you're on to another discussion, which I think will need to evolve, because some of those trucks that are down there are abandoned now. And, you know, one of the points earlier was around Nicholas. I think there's like at least two trucks there that have not been touched in over 2 weeks. They're like,
yeah.
So, you know, that demonstrates to me an abandoned vehicle and needs to move. Well, we need the right equipment to be able to move that equipment. And unfortunately, that we like it or not, the military has those abilities to move very heavy equipment and has that expertise to do it. So, you know, I understand the concerns of bringing the military with guns. I think the military has been used differently to support communities, and hopefully there is a nuance here at some point.
I will just add that myself, before I pass back to you, in the thread of this conversation, the just before this meeting, I saw again on Twitter more of the canisters of gasoline and petrol, diesel still being carried. And this, you know, is very concerning for all of us, let alone the fumes, but the possibility of fire and the possibility of real, you know, explosion. And it seems to be treated so lightly. I think the fumes people mentioned earlier, but again, just to document our community, another resident told me today who lives in the one above the condo right there, above Milestones, I guess it is.
Right there. 700 Sussex, yeah.
Yeah, that had to move out because of the air quality, because of the fumes, and has some health challenges. So I just want to make sure, I know you know, but we continue to hear from residents of that specific issue as well. And last but not least, your point about, you know, we facilitated other demonstrations. I personally have been arrested on the Hill, as I'm sure many of you have, protesting climate change, and we had permits. They did not even have to apply for permits. So when you say we like to facilitate protests, it was quite different. As John said, we've been at G7s, we've been corralled, we've been arrested protesting climate change, but it just seems to be facilitated. And so we fear, we keep seeing that we are not prioritized, and we're not served. I have Deb and then Curtis. Sorry, I know it's not Deb, but I keep reading the lot. Go ahead.
I just have a question for Councillor Fleury. It may be obvious, but have those trucks that are on Nicholas, have they been checked for explosives? Have any of the trucks been
checked? Have any of the trucks been checked?
Or guns or ammunition?
Weapons or ammunition or explosives. Yeah, good question.
So I'm not privy to that information. I have raised those same concerns.
Thank you.
Curtis.
Hi, yes, I'm just wondering if the councillor could address, like, I think there's a lot of frustration that I'm hearing from other, you know, citizens in Ottawa about the lack of leadership at the city, and you know, why did it take the citizens to, you know, to do the first injunction? And it just seems like there's no sense of urgency from the city. Like could you just speak a bit about that and like how to address this sense of frustration that people are directing towards the city.
Absolutely, yeah. No, and thank you for that, Curtis. I'm not sure I have all the answers, but on the injunction front, we were schooled by locals, and Lexi Lee has been a tremendous example of that, building the case, and so has the local legal team. The city of Ottawa did not feel it had the right. The right proof at the time to submit the injunction, you know, that again will need to form part of the inquiry of what was known when and why wasn't it acted on. I think your other sort of point is more political in terms of why weren't bylaws bolstered? Why wasn't the city declared a state of emergency? I don't have the short answer because I'm in the eye of the hurricane on that. I want you to know that basically when Bailey and my team came back from that weekend on the Monday, we were pushing all points, bylaws, emergency declarations, and a number of enforcement tools. And here we were a week later when council actually recognized it and enacted it. So, you know, I will gladly participate in any inquiry and share all of the official records I have. In terms of the policing, again, I think that there's so much unknowns, right? We see it all on social media. Liz was again saying the carrying of gas and what that meant. I think there's a lot of unknown, and until it's known, then it's very hard to judge. That said, the OPP, there was a social media excerpt from an OPP officer late yesterday, and the OPP was quite quick in condoning it and reacting to it, which to me is the right and a good example of building public trust and setting expectation for its employees and members. So I'm not, again, I think there's a big void of information. Okay. I think in the meantime, I invite residents to keep sharing what they see, pictures with protesters. There's a number of things, right, that that continue to concern us. Tents.
Where do you recommend they share them? Where do you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, send it to Bailey and I, and we'll make sure that it goes to the right avenue, that it be the class, that it be the city's auditor general, that it be our records. If we're not in possession of that information, like, that's part of the risk is social media has a lot of content, but it's very hard for us to amass that and build kind of a story of here's what that means. We were able, Liz, to build a story relating to intimidation, because in the first weekend, the media were reporting that this was a protest. And, you know, after a number of examples and connections with businesses and residents, we were able to at least demonstrate to local media. It took a while with the national media, but the local media, of the number of intimidation incidents that were happening.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go to Joel now.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
I'd like to speak about, well, I can't speak for everyone, but as a member of the LGBTQ community, seeing so many police officers, seeing flags, hate symbols everywhere is very stressful. I feel unsafe going outside. And I'd just like to know what we're going to do about this.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question. And I'm sorry on behalf of the city that you're having to live through that. And it's certainly not a reflection of the community or the city that we want to build and that we know. So none of my comments do I want to make you feel like this is acceptable or that this is tolerable. Both Councillor McKinney and I recognize the risk to various members of our community and feel that for the time being, having local police local streets and being by foot in the community needs to be part of the solution. Because as you've seen beyond the big rigs, there's a number of pickup trucks with flags on them. And we've seen a number of incidents of very aggressive situations with those drivers. So please, if you see something, report it. And in the meantime, both Councillor McKinney and I are continuing to pursue the authorities to be present by foot, not just at intersections, but within communities. So I can't share with you that we've been successful because we haven't, but we'll keep pursuing it.
I'm just going to jump in before I go to you, Donna, on this. Thank you very much for sharing that. It's just something we can do as community members, walking group with some people who may feel unsafe, or a volunteer meeting point, or I don't know. I don't have any good ideas. Kendra, I think you were alluding to this in the chat about other ways we might be able to support individuals, if you have any other ideas. No, maybe not. Well, or of any of you, not just Kendra, but again, that we are here, and if there is something that we can do in terms of community support, walking groups or something like that to make people feel less vulnerable, let us know. Okay, Donna.
Hi, just to say that pretty much I think everybody's on the same page of being exhausted and angry. But the thing that for me has really come home is I will never trust the police again, not the way I did before. I lived in Turkey when I watched police and military beat up students who were demonstrating, and it was terrible. And when I moved back to Canada, I take such pride in how we live here and how privileged we are. And, you know, it's just, I'll never feel the same about police again. And maybe I was naive in the first place, but I thought they were there for us. And I really believe that the police were supportive in very blatant ways. I saw times where, you know, at a distance, I saw police at McKenzie, right where they come off the Alexander Bridge, two or three police cars there, and people, demonstrators coming along, and the police, like everything about them, their body language, everything was inclusive and friendly and relaxed. And then the other thing too is, I don't know what the tiers of government are in this, but I think as a citizen and as a taxpayer, I look at the city, the police, the province and the feds, like how is it that politics has come into play that we pass the buck like this? Why wasn't there, as Deb Patterson's husband mentioned, why wasn't there action taken right in the beginning? And I know, Matthew, you don't have the answers to that, but just to sort of add my voice, the one positive thing I'll tell you about all this is that when they closed the access from McDonald Cartier to Dalhousie, wow, what a change in our community. I can walk across the street now without thinking I've taken my life in my hands. It's really, and I know things are quieter now generally, but it's made a huge difference here, Mathieu. And so small silver lining. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Donna. I've received a number of inquiries about that access closure. And I do think I would encourage the LCA to put it on a list at some point to look at with the city and I around maybe closing access and forcing folks to go to Sussex in the long term. I think that could really protect the residential integrity of the northern part of Lower Towns. But again, it may be too early to think about that, but it needs to be discussed. The city's reviewing the transportation master plan, so there is a unique time to look at it.
Yeah, pedestrianized Wellington. Anyway, I digress. Thank you, Karen, has put in the notes. Yeah, the faith and loss of institutions is immeasurable. The police, as Donna noted, and others, it is a big challenge for us. Anyone else? Anything anyone else want to share?
Liz, I would have other updates if the spirit and the community does indulge in a few additional minutes here.
Sure. That okay, everyone? No one else? Okay, go ahead.
And I apologize. As I was saying that, my computer reloaded and I have to open Outlook with my notes here. But I recall a number of them. So tomorrow evening, the city was to host a transportation master plan consultation. And following that, Councillor Ralston King and I were to host a Ward 12, Ward 13 session in early March. So we still have the same intents, but it just will be delayed. The other one is the city on, Bailey, correct me if I'm wrong, on Thursday evening, still has a consultation in relations to what's the parkland dedication bylaw. What that means is when the city, when there is development, the city has a number of criteria for cash in lieu of parkland. We've benefited from that in being able to redo Jean Marin Park and now in being in full consultation for Bingham. But the city is reviewing how it's protecting lands and how it's ensuring more green space and more parks are protected. So it is we're the area in the city with least green space. So I would encourage you to participate. And Bailey, I wonder if you could put the links in the chats just to make sure. Obviously, these consultations are likely not to happen this week, but being on top of them as they happen is important. In terms of planning, so there's a number of planning things that are underway. We still have not received the formal application for the challenging proposal that is on Delouzy between Butler and Bolton. So I know Michelle from my team is looking and awaiting that with keen attention, as we know it's top concern. The 112 Nelson, that is the old commercial building on Nelson where Auntie Lou's Pastry was located, if you remember, a couple of probably now 10 years ago. That property is up for redevelopment by a Smart Living Property. We've had a consultation and we are engaging with CCOC to garner feedback. City Council, with a very close vote of 14 to 10, did approve the proposal from Tiberge Homes at 641 Rideau. I opposed it, but through that, we were also able to negotiate an MOU for existing tenants and some level of affordable units within the building. So that's the site. 641 Rideau is right behind the OCH building on Rideau and Wurttemberg, right beside the Watergate. We also are waiting on the resubmission for 275 King Edward Avenue. That is the site south of Murray at Clarence, where there is a number of heritage concerns specifically for the neighbors. The city's team and the applicant and my team have been engaged with the neighbors to come to assurances and review of their submission. 126 York, which is the old Markets Organic building that extends through to George Street. We are expecting it to be on the planning committee, the built heritage subcommittee and then the planning committee in March. So please be aware that will come quickly. And then as the heritage conservation districts are both being reviewed currently, I know that Michelle is looking forward to meet with the LCA and I to discuss what our objectives are for the HCD review, making sure that those are properly captured and embedded. So Liz, maybe my last update is that we are planning to host next Thursday with an asterisk, right? Depending on where we're at with this occupation, the consultation for Bingham Park. So right now the Bingham Park survey is up on Engage Ottawa. And again, Bailey, I wonder if I could ask for your assistance to put it in the chat. And then LCA, if you could share it with the members, we will post it on social media in coming days for next week. Again, it's maybe more kind of up for depending on the period. Just on two side notes, I do want to wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day. And I do hope that even with the heaviness of the period that you're able to give a hug to someone, to call your parents or call a sibling and share with them how important they are. The other one is Family Day weekend is coming up and there are a number of activities. I want to raise one to your attention. The Rideau Winter Trail will have kind of a Family Day event beginning at 1 on Monday. That's if you're looking for that's for where basically bring your fat bike, bring snowshoes, bring cross-country skis at the end of Donald Street, where right where the Adawi Bridge is, and we'll have hot chocolate and coffee. It's kind of an outdoor family fun. And we hear that there's snow coming this week, so we'll make sure that the trail is groomed prior to that. So Liz, I'll leave you at that. And I don't know if there were any questions on my subsequent updates.
Thanks very much, Councillor Fleury. I imagine there may be because we had some, go ahead.
Who's trying? I have one, Liz.
Yes, go ahead, John.
It's to do with the Bingham Park review. I think if we're going to continue to have a rec there, we need a building just like they have in the park here for parking the snowblower, because right now we have no facility to keep a snowblower there and we really need one. The LCA bought a snowblower this year. I know I haven't been involved with the rink this year, but it seems to me there's one at Jewel Moran, just a little shed. But it has to be separate from the building for the fumes and everything like that. It could be just set beside on the street side of the current building so that it's innocuous, but it's close at hand. And now where would we say that in terms of the review? If the LCA wanted to.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So LCA can certainly formalize an official request and please send that directly to me. In the meantime, John, Bailey's put the link in the chat, so feel free to fill the consultation link, and then we will also be hosting a public meeting. I'm saying next week lightly here. It will likely be moved, but we're hoping for next Thursday. So all those avenues are important, and obviously we know that one of the discussion points is exactly that: is what do we do with that building, and there's a number of elements to consider. So I'd be glad to report back on the range of submissions afterwards if the LCA is interested.
Great, thanks. Anyone else? I think maybe any comments in terms of other groups we're going to report on what else, on other items that Council Ferry raised? The heritage folks, did you want to say anything? But I think you have an update later, but while the councilor's here, Nancy or Andrew? Oh, I'm sorry, Donna. I didn't see your hand. Donna.
Thanks. Two things, Mathieu. One is a follow-up about this issue with Sally Coots. I don't know how many people are aware, but Sally Coots has retired and managed to receive as the sole source contract for what I believe is a very large amount of money. She has shown on Dun & Brand Street, 1 year income of $452,000 US from the time of her retirement. And I understand that she's the consultant who was hired by her coworkers in effect to do this. I've never been a part of a government bureaucracy, so I come at this from a different point of view from somebody who's been self-employed most of her life. And I just don't understand it. And I think that, it's raised a lot of questions about how the governance at City Hall and how an employee can be sort of a file that she's worked on for literally at least 15 years, that she would be able to retire and then step into this position. So that's something that I just wanted to raise with you just as a reminder to try and help us to figure out our way through this. I'm not prepared to walk away. I don't want to pick on anybody individually, but I'd like the city to explain to me how that's acceptable. There's so many skilled heritage consultants around in the province. And just imagine if we had somebody arm's length, you know, from outside Ottawa who was looking at these areas. That's just what we need if we're going to try and preserve our areas. Anyway, that's all. Thanks. I just wanted to mention that. Sally Coots is on my mind.
No, and I know she is. And I guess I'd say a couple of things. One is Nancy and Andrew did meet with Court and Leslie to discuss HCDs and this particular procurement element. I believe you wrote to Court as well,
yeah,
and the Integrity Commissioner. So in political life, a bit like you're seeing the situation, I can't intervene on procurement. That said, when there are issues of procurement that are informed to me, we do have channels, so yeah, which is the Integrity Commissioner and the Auditor General at the city. So, you know, I would encourage you if what Andrew and Nancy are providing as an update, if that is still, if questions still remain, to contact the city's Auditor General. There is a fraud and waste line, and this, you know, this would be an interesting independent review of those decisions. I'm sort of binded by, I don't have oversight of procurement at that level. So their choices within the staff's authority.
Okay, thanks.
Actually, if I could speak to that just briefly, Mathieu, it's Nancy. The thing about Sally also feeds into our concern about the HCD plans. We were told that Sally was going to do it with no prior consultation. We've now been told that our two HCD plans are going to be rolled into one with no consultation. And frankly, the community in these instances is often the best judge of how to proceed. on some of this. So we're feeling a little bit miffed, shall we say. And it becomes really difficult to participate and, you know, cooperate on things where you haven't been part of any of the process of planning.
So Nancy, I guess there's two pieces here. One, which is my responsibility in the city's review, and I will follow up with Michelle from my team to facilitate a meeting with Court and the LCA and I just to discuss that particular element. In the meantime, though, it might be warranted to get a motion on the floor here of the LCA and write formally to the city about the HCD concerns that you were highlighting. I think those are important at this point for the record, as they're at pretty early stages and quite critical in the review.
Thank you.
Okay. Great. Anything else for Councillor Fleury before we say thank you and good night? As we know, you have to go. Others of you don't have to go yet. We have a few more items, but I heard you had to go.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Liz. And Bailey will be staying on. So if there's additional follow-ups, we'll be in touch. Thank you, everyone. And feel free to reach out anytime.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, I have next on the agenda, I have something about the Bingham Park survey. Is there someone who wanted to speak to us in addition to what the Councillor Furry mentioned? Sarah, did you want to jump in?
Oh, sure, I can. I think we suggested to Sandra, it was really more for the councillor to speak to because it's okay. Being by the city at this point.
Great.
I guess I would just encourage everyone to please take the time to fill out the survey. Yeah. It's really important that we get a broad perspective of input at this early stage and then pre-register for the meeting. So if the date does change, especially, you know.
Yeah.
But I turn it over to Donna and see if she's got anything to add there.
Excellent. Donna? Thank you.
Surprisingly, I don't have a lot to say.
Okay.
It's a nice change.
You did.
Yeah. But, we're trying, Sarah and I are going to do our best to try and reach out to people individually as well to try and get as much support for this because it's so important for the future to get everybody to add their opinion. And the survey's very brief. It really doesn't go into much detail, but there is a section where you can make comments and, you know, Don was mentioning about the snowblower, just write it in the comments and go for broke.
Yeah, I think it's very basic. So it would be good to write in comments. It's a very basic survey. And it is an important part for all of us. So please do participate. And if we sign up, Bailey, for the consultation, and if it's changed, will we get notice? And even if not, you'll keep us informed if it's moved?
Yeah, everyone will be kept in the loop for sure.
Okay, please do. Thank you so much for that. So that was... one quick item, and John Woodhouse, I see you being very patient here. Did you want to say anything about snow moles or not? I don't mean to put you on the spot. If you don't, it's fine. We can have it another meeting. Or you can email us. All right, that will be great. Take care. Thank you for your patience. The updates from other committees. May I go to Heritage first then?
Started it off. Well, I think
if you have anything to add, I'm not sure. I think Andrew, I saw your note in the chat. So yeah.
Yeah, I just said that I follow up during the updates. But so this is the third, we've had three meetings since we began the HCD plan review. The first one was the public consultation or an introduction. And that, to be honest, didn't go over too well because of what Donna has already mentioned, which is that they sole source the contract with someone who may not have the best relationship with a lot of the members of this community. So we had a second meeting offline, which the councillor mentioned, but out of that came no no change in decision about retaining this person who used to work for the city. Then we had, meaning Nancy and I, have gone on a walking tour of Byward Market with some of the city staff, the heritage planners of the city. I won't speak for Nancy, but my reaction is that there's a lot of very concerning messages being brought to us about how these plans are being developed. One is, first of all, that they, even though the Ontario Heritage Act says that you have to have a heritage conservation district plan for each conservation district, they're wanting to put Byward Market and Lowertown West together. So this we've argued that these are two very different areas of the city. They're designated separately. There's all sorts of justifications. Last week I spoke to quite a few heritage planners throughout Ontario, and they said that's a no-go. But the city has come back and said, yes, you know, there's precedence for this, including what they did in Centertown. So far, I'll just step back and say, you know, the purpose of doing heritage conservation districts or even any of these is to create more engagement of communities. Much of the experience so far has been the city non-engaging the community and in fact resisting our ideas. And this is really unfortunate because it's supposed to be a positive for the community. I've worked on conservation districts across Canada and they're always bringing people together, not pushing against one another. So there's a bit of frustration on our part. We do have a follow-up, I believe it's next week, with the city staff to try to iron this out yet again for the third time. So hopefully we'll be able to push back. I think we have actually turned to the councillor several times without any commitment. So when he says he's interested, we still haven't had any opportunity to brief him on the district plans. That's the Heritage Conservation District Plan. I would like to also raise the fact that the Ontario government issued the housing initiative. I believe it was the task force last week. I went through the document. There's a lot of misinformation and somewhat willful ignorance on the part of the committee that includes former leader of the Conservative Party of Ontario and other members that have misunderstood what heritage conservation is about and how to protect the neighborhood. And ironically, we have one of the most intensified neighborhoods, well, in Canada, actually, but we are as dense and intensified as you can get. And yet many of the rules or the recommendations that they've put in place is to threaten or at least challenge the type of community we have. So that's the example was already mentioned about the situation on Rideau Street, but other cases can come before the planning committee or heritage conservation committee, and they will be pushed. So there are some problems with this task force, and I think that's something we're going to have to be concerned about. So those are the two files. So hopefully next month we'll be able to give you some better news about how we're working with the city, but I'll say it's quite a challenge at this point. So hopefully we'll have a better update next time. And I think Nancy, I think there's a few smaller items. I think Mathieu mentioned quite a few of the files that we're dealing with.
Okay. Yeah, Thank you very much, Andrew. Is there a question or comment for Andrew? Thank you and Nancy very much and the whole committee for your hard work. If not, I'll say thank you and go back to John. I'm sorry I moved on too quickly, clearly, but back to you.
Well, Janet, I'm having a hard time. I'm muting you. Pardon me. But anyway, I was on here to propose a walk-on. The working title is right now a healthy, active transportation. and the BIA in Iowa. Now we will have two, possibly three partners or beneficiaries of this. What is Access Now, which is based in Toronto, and basically as a database for accessibility of different buildings and different cities of Canada. So we can add to the database. But also the other people is STAPA, which is a provide instruction on how to ramp up a building to make it accessible from 2 inches from a door stoop of 2 inches to 7 inches. That's a maximum. But these are organizations that you can look up on the web. Now I can shoot you an article that I just came across about how many millions of dollars BIA are losing due to their inaccessibility and how to find other ways to spend their money. And that's basically it. So right now, Liz, I'm sort of in a quandary because my keyboard, a quarter of it doesn't work. They haven't got moisture in it. I'm going to have to get myself a new keyboard once it's not sub-Arctic out there. And I hope to be back in contact with everyone soon so I can shoot you a more detailed proposal, because I'm also proposing the Council on Aging, and they're considered as well. But this involves the Lordstown people, because there's so many BIAs. There's so much construction going on the BIA and walking to and from are creating hazards. And well, basically, as I won't bore you, I'll email you as soon as I can.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you so much, John. So just to recap, I understand there's a couple of initiatives you would like to work with us on for active transportation, for accessibility with other partners contributing to a database I understand it's national and you want us to help look at our community accessibility for buildings like in the BIA region and help make the case to the BIAs how they're losing business. The businesses are losing business without accessibility. And then the third point is really about construction and so much construction inhibiting movement and access. And again, linked to our expectation, active transportation goals so that everybody has access in our community. You have a challenge with your keyboard, so you're going to send us some documents and I will be happy to share them with everyone once you're back in business, as I know you will be. And I'm sure some of us would love to work with you on some of these projects and look up some of the partners that you mentioned. Step Up, I think, is one.
Yeah.
And the Council on Aging, I know we've worked with in the past, but Step Up is new to me, so I'd like to learn more.
Access Now.
Okay, great. And if
Access Now.
Mm-hmm.
ACC.
Yeah. Access.
Now.
Access Now. Thank you. Yeah. I got it finally. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Access Now. Okay. Thank you.
Look
great.
That.
I will look them up.
It'll be crystal clear.
Great. It will be crystal clear. If any of you want to join us in some of the work on active transportation and accessibility, let John and I know.
Yes, please.
Okay. And we'll park some more for our next meeting and we'll hopefully have some more to share on email in between. Okay, yeah. Thank you so much, John. I'm gonna move on to another committee. Anyone else have anything to share from any of the work of the committees? You have about 9 minutes left, so I'm gonna ask the next one to be brief, but who else? Anyone have anything from arts or from planning? Warren isn't here, I just remembered. Is anyone from planning committee? I think he sent an email which I could read, but if any of you have any other updates that are on the committee after this, let me know. Quickly, Warren has said he wrote in the Echo, which many of you received this week or will receive, 385 Sussex and 641 Rideau were both accepted by the city against our LCA objections. The Archdiocese at least finally told everyone the truth, declining to accept some planning committee members' suggestions that they should pretend they intend to develop the site. The truth is they have no plan to do anything now because they're badly affected by COVID. They had a plan 3 years ago, but COVID changed it. We are now told that what we and OMB were told in 2004 was an agreement with the city to develop the parking lot. Really wasn't an agreement, just a plan, which now isn't a plan, but a fairy tale. Council now agreed to that, but only for 2 more years. So we have our work for the next 2 years, y'all. Okay, and back to 641 Rideau, both the planning staff and the developer still pretend that the secondary plan never intended 25 stories should be conditional on all requirements being met, but that the 25 stories are really all that matters, so requirements could be waived. Council agreed to that, but showed they cared about displacing existing tenants. For upcoming issues, we continue to expect rezoning. David Weiss and Tim Mormon at the city are leading that, and community benefit payment, Ranbir Singh. Bylaws are now being revised. Although I have contacted both, neither have discussed their plans with our community yet. When we get a date, we will let everyone know, since these are both important determinants of our community livability. I'm asking anyone knowledgeable about zoning or community benefit payments to let me know their suggestions. So that's from Warren, the lead for the planning committee. Is anyone here on the meeting on the planning committee that might have anything to add or? Nope. Thanks for all your good work. Despite the no, we keep fighting this parking lot. I think since I moved here, many of you, 15 years of. Anyway, we know what we have to do in the next 2 years and for the other developments coming up. Thanks for the work you all do at the planning committee. Okay, anyone else online who has another committee report who I'm forgetting because I didn't write out the committees? Raise your hand. Kendra.
Thanks, Liz. I can just give a very quick high-level update. As part of our work this year, we're starting to organize a joint exhibit, an art exhibit with the Ottawa Black Artists Collective. So we've been reaching out to artists within Lower Town and within Ottawa. The exhibit is going to be around the topic of home. So what is it like, the physical, psychological, social, like it's very important in our community, the concept of home, what it's like when you don't have a home. Watch this space for more, but I just wanted to give kind of a quick hello to everybody, shine a bit of light, and I hope you're all doing well during this weird time.
Thank you, Kendra. That's so exciting to hear more about upcoming arts and beauty in our community. Thank you, and the committee working on that. Anyone else? Last call, a committee person or anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
Just to follow up on Kendra's report, there is now, I think it's almost confirmed, there's an agreement to use the Rochon residence for a cultural purpose. I don't think I'm allowed to say much just yet, but the NCC has got an agreement to go ahead with something. Right. So you might hear the news about that soon.
Excellent. Okay. Anyone else? Anything else you want to share? Get off your chest. Otherwise, I'm going to say thank you all so much for spending the evening with us, but for all you do for our community every day, and really send my heartfelt appreciation for all of you in difficult days. You've made my night by seeing you tonight. And to remind you, our next gathering will be March 14th. But stay well and stay in touch in between, email, phone, Twitter, whatever. And we'll happily see you in a month. But we'll be in touch before then. Take care. Good night. Bye.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you.